So tonight, we're going to go through Surah Hud alayhi salam, verses 96 through 99, inshallah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wa salatu wa salamu ala anbiya'illahi jami'an. وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا وسلطان مبين إلى فرعون وملئه فاتبعوا أمر فرعون وما أمر فرعون برشيد يقدم قومه يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار وبئس الورد المورود وأتبعوا في هذه لعنة ويوم القيامة بئس الرفد المرفود ذلك من أنباء القرى نقصه عليك منها قائم وحصيد صدق الله العلي العظيم. So this is the seventh story in this chapter, Surah Hud. There are many stories of many prophets. What was the story before Moses? Story number six. Did you forget? Who was the prophet who lived in Midian? Midian, Shu'aib, Jethro. And who was before him? The story of Lut. And before Lut, the story of Ibrahim? No, Ibrahim was before. Before Lut, we had Hud, and before Hud, in fact, we had Saleh, and then we had Hud, and then we had Ibrahim. And now we come to Musa, and Musa is a very popular figure in the Holy Quran. Can you imagine that Musa has been mentioned, the term Musa, the name Musa, 136 times? In 34 chapters, out of 114 chapters, his story is mentioned in 34 chapters, in details. The story is mentioned in details. And one of the beautiful chapters that encompasses the story and the life and legacy and the struggle of Moses is Surah Al-Qasas, chapter 28. Al-Qasas, the stories. Musa alayhi salam was a hero who stood up against racial discrimination, against racism, against bigotry, against bias. He himself was oppressed. He's from the people who were oppressed in Egypt by Pharaoh and by the Copts. And Moses is from the Israelites, the children of Israel, Bani Israel. Bani Israel are 12 tribes that are mentioned in the Quran. The tribes that are mentioned in the Quran, they were 12. And the name of the tribes in the Quran is Asbat. So they were divided into 12 tribes. Because the name of the children of Jacob's, their number were 12. So each one of them had a tribe following him. One of them was Yusuf, the other was Benjamin, the other was Shimon, one was Yehuda, one was Lawi, and 12 names. So Musa alayhi salam is the descendant of those tribes. And the leader of those tribes, who was the leader? I just mentioned his name, Yaqub. Because Yaqub's name, Jacob, is Israel in the Quran. He has two names, one of them Jacob, one of them Israel. So this is his official name. And Musa alayhi salam lived in Egypt. And the story of the Bani Israel in Egypt goes back to 2,000 years, about 1700 to 1800 years, about 1700 years before the birth of the Christ. They moved to Egypt. When they moved to Egypt with Israel, with Jacob, they were about 73 people only. He moved with his family to be reunited with his son. Which son? Yusuf, Joseph. Because Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt. He was not the king, but he was the prime minister, because the king gave him his authority to rule. But then when they stayed in Egypt, they multiplied. Their number multiplied many folds. From only 73 into thousands and thousands of people. So the Copts, the original Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, the Copts, they feared them. It's like when some people here in America, they fear the Mexican people when they come into this country and they are multiplied, mashallah, they are Catholic, they make many children. So some people here, they fear that one day they're going to take over. This is what happened for the children of Israel in Egypt. So once they started fearing them, they decided to persecute them. And they started to enslave them, take them as slaves, laborers, doing difficult jobs, stripping them of their dignity and freedom and rights. And this lasted for so many years until Musa alayhi salam came. Musa came and he was raised in the palace of the tyrant. Can you imagine? This is something unheard of. Someone who's raised by Fir'aun himself is going to destroy the throne of Fir'aun. I have a series on YouTube about Musa alayhi salam. I did for the past month of Ramadan for Ahlul Bayt channel. So I speak about his life and legacy in 10 segments. It's found on the YouTube. So therefore, Musa alayhi salam, he faced two main challenges. One challenge is the tyrant, the government, the political establishment. He had to confront them. Because it was bias, because they were tyrants, they were despots. The second challenge that he faced was his own people. If you read his stories in the Quran, he had difficult time with his own people, to the extent that one day he said, لِمَ تُؤْذُونَنِي وَقَدْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ. Oh my people, you are I am your leader. You are supposed to take care of me, not to تؤذونني, not to harass me, not to annoy me, not to torture me, not to give me difficult time. لما تؤذونني وقد تعلمون. And definitely you know that I'm the messenger of God to you. So he had to work on two fronts. One, to confront Pharaoh and his tyranny and his dictatorship. The second, to confront the corruption within his own community. Many of them, they revolted against him. When he saved them, when he took them out of Egypt, and they were on their way to Palestine, they were passing through the Sinai Desert, This is one of the stories, one of the incidents. So he used to go and speak to God. He used to go to a mountain. The mountain is called Tur. He would climb this mountain and speak to God. وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Spent some time, sometimes 2 days, sometimes 3 days, in one incident, 40 days. وَوَعَدْنَا مُوسَى 30 لَيْلَةً وَأَتْمَمْنَاهَا بِعَشْرٍ فَتَمَّ مِقَاتُ رَبِّهِ 40 لَيْلَةً. He stayed there in the mountain for 40 days, speaking to God. He came back, he found his community, they made a revolution against him. They turned against him. Though he appointed his brother Aaron, Harun, to take care of the community, but they did not listen to Harun. Because there were a corrupt person among them by the name of As-Samiri. He was a hypocrite. Samiri, he said, "You are worshipping someone that you don't see. Why do you worship someone that you don't see?" They said to him, "Then what is the alternative? Who should we worship?" He said, "I'm going to create a calf from gold." So he created, he established, he built a calf from gold. And you know, people love gold. Who doesn't? Everybody loves gold. He said, "Hada ilahukum wa ilahu Musa." The real Lord is this one. So worship him. So hundreds of thousands of those people who were worshipping God, they were monotheists. They turned, they switched to polytheism, to shirk. They started bowing down before a calf made of gold. And when Harun, Aaron said to them, "Don't do this, this is bad," they turned against him and they were hitting him and they almost killed him. They almost killed him. So Musa came back after 40 days. Wow, what a mess. This is my community? My community that I gave my life, my time, my energy to refine them, to teach them, to educate them, to guide them. They took advantage of my absence for a few days and they turned against God, not just against me, against God. So he had difficult times. He had very tumultuous time. Musa alayhi salam is one of the prophets. Why he's mentioned in the Quran 136 times? Because he had very difficult time with two. With the government, with Pharaoh in Egypt, and with his own community. Even when he saved them and he told them, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ ادْخُلُوا الْأَرْضَ الْمُقَدَّسَةَ الَّتِي كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Let's go, enter the Holy Land. They said to him, "No." قَالُوا إِنَّ فِيهَا قَوْمًا جَبَّارِينَ وَإِنَّا لَن نَدْخُلَهَا مَا دَامُوا فِيهَا فَاذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَا إِنَّا هَاهُنَا قَاعِدُونَ. In this land, there are people who are tyrants. We cannot deal with them. They are strong, jabbarin. They are people of might and oppression. And we cannot meet them. We cannot face them. So you know what, Musa? Go you and your Lord and fight. Leave us here enjoying our time. They refused to go. The result, because they refused jihad, they refused to struggle, they refused to work, Allah says in the Quran, فَإِنَّهَا مُحَرَّمَةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ 40 سَنَةً يَتِيهُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Because they did not listen to you, they don't want to fight, they're going to get lost in diaspora, in this land. This land, Palestine, is haram for them, forbidden. They cannot go to Palestine for 40 years. Why 40 years? What was the reason 40 years? Not 30 years, not 20, not, you know. Exactly. So within these 40 years, the old generation dies, another generation is going to grow up. They're going to feel the responsibility. They have different mentality, different aspirations, different goals. And they are the ones who are going to enter the Holy Land. And this is what happened. They lived in diaspora, in the Sinai Desert. They would walk in the morning towards Palestine. By the evening, when they sleep, they find themselves exactly in the first location when they started. For 40 years, they walk, And then in the morning they wake up again. They are in the first square where they started. This is diaspora in the desert of Sinai. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives us a glimpse of the life of this prophet. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ. We sent Moses with two things. بِآيَاتِنَا, with our signs. What are our signs? What does it mean? The meaning signs. بِآيَاتِنَا. What does it mean? No. Alwah, they are not signs. The book, that is the book. Signs here, what does it mean? When God gives signs to Moses. Huh? Miracles, exactly. These physical miracles. How many miracles? بِتِسْعِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. 9 miracles took place when he was confronting Pharaoh in Egypt. And this is mentioned in the Old Testament too. 9 different miracles. Because they asked him, if you are truly messenger of God, show me a sign. Show me something. They would walk up in the morning and the whole water turns into blood. The whole water, the running water in the river, in their homes, in the wells, in their hands. They are about to drink and it turns into blood. This is one. And of course, the biggest miracle was what? The snake, the huge snake. Is it a snake or something else? Huh? Serpents. Yes, huge one, huge, not small. That in the beginning, he ran away from it. He turned when God said to him, cast your staff, your cane. So once he saw this huge serpent, he made a U-turn and he started running. قُلْنَا لَا تَخَفْ. Take it easy, Musa. This is a miracle. This is not against you. So the signs are the miracles. Now God says, بِآيَاتِنَا, and something else, وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ, apparent sultan, authority. An authority that is manifest, manifest authority. What is the manifest authority here? Reference to what? بِآيَاتِنَا, we know, signs, they are miracles. But what is Sultan in Mubin? The Sultan means authority, which is manifest, Mubin, apparent. So what does that mean? What sort of, what is it? Sorry, say that again, loud. Yes, you are close. You are close. Here, Sultan comes from authority, from Sulta. The meaning of Sulta is authority, the government, the authority. But in this context, it does not mean the seat of government. It means something that very compelling, very powerful. Nobody can deny that. And therefore, there are two types of Sultan. One is material Sultan. Material Sultan are the miracles. But then there is a second sultan, which is intellectual sultan. The argument that he brought from God. Intellectual, rational discourse and narrative that he brought. Sometimes a prophet performs physical miracles. Physical miracles are for our eyes. So if you don't believe in the prophet, he has a physical miracle. Everybody can see it. Everybody can observe it. But then there is a second type of miracle which is performed by the prophet, which is not for the eyes to see, but for the brain and the mind to understand. And that is the intellectual discourse. The narrative that he used, Musa alayhi salam, it could not be defeated. It could not be compromised. The logic that he had. I'll give you an example. So when he went to Pharaoh, Pharaoh said to him, Musa, tell me about yourself. قال فمن ربكما يا موسى? Who's your Lord? Who's your Lord, you and your brother? The answer, see, very simple answer. Very simple, anyone can understand. But it is very deep, very extensive, very meaningful. He says, قال ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه ثم هدى. Do you want to know my Lord? See, this is very powerful, logical, rational. But yet it's very simple. Anyone can understand that. So he had a strong logic. Musa had a strong argument. When you have a strong argument, people cannot defeat you. And how do you create strong arguments? Through knowledge, through studying. If you don't study, you don't develop strong arguments. Some people, they develop strong fallacy, مغالطة, but not strong argument. So in two sentences he says, our Lord, ربنا الذي أعطى كل شيء خلقه, he gave shape to everything he created, but not only he created, he did something else beside the creation. So step one is physical creation. Step two is what? ثم هدى, guidance. Not just the creation, guidance. And guidance is more important than a creation. Sometimes there is a creation, but there is no guidance. It's a lost case. What gives worth to us, what gives value to us, is not just the creation. It is the guidance that we have. أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. In this universe, God created everything, shaped everything, but again guided. And we have two types of guidance here. What are they? Two types of guidance. Al-Hidayah. The first guidance is what? Al-Hidayatul Takwiniya. The second one is Al-Hidayatul, what is it? The second one is Al-Hidayatul, the first one Takwiniya, Tashri'iya. What is the difference between them? Hidayat Takwiniya has been given to every creature, even animals, they have it. Animals, when they are created, they know where to sleep, they know what to eat, they know what to drink. They know how to capture their victims, how to attack, how to defend themselves. This is Hidayah Takwiniya. It has been given to every creature in this universe. But the second type of Hidayah is giving only to whom? Only to you, not to animals, not to other creatures, only to human beings. Hidayat Tashri'iyya, spiritual guidance. Animals do not have a spiritual guidance. You don't see an animal that comes to the mosque and he says, today I want to worship. You don't see an animal that goes to a school and he says, today I want to learn. I want to develop myself. They don't have it. It's only us, the human beings, who have this potential to excel, to develop, to grow. To grow mentally, spiritually, psychologically, socially. Animals don't have this. So this is Al-Hidayah Tashri'iyya. رَبُّنَا الَّذِي أَعْطَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلْقَهُ ثُمَّ هَدَى. So, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا وَسُلْطَانٍ مُبِينٍ 97 says, إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ. To Pharaoh and Mala'. Mala' in Arabic is the notables. Mala is said about something that fills your eyes. It's so huge, so big, so important that when you look at it, it would fill your eyes. This is the meaning of mala. Mala يعني يملأ العين, fills the eyes. So people who are important, they fill the eyes. Why? Why they fill the eyes of the people? Why? Because what they wear jewelry. So you look at them, wow, look at these jewelries. Look at the dress. Look at the suit. Look at the shoes. Look at the Rolex. Look at the necklace. Look at the car he drives. Look at the house. So they filled the eyes of the naive people. This is why the elite are called Mala', because the elite usually are rich. They are rich. Have you seen these Hollywood, you know, parties, the Oscar and others, what they wear? It's not just for the winning movies. It's also a fashion show. Fashion show. So those designers, it's a race also for designers. They give the dress to this actress, to this actor, wear them there, people take picture, and then it becomes the talk of the town because it filled the eyes. So those who are elite in the society, in this world of materials, huh? Not the world of spiritual, material, they are called Mala'. إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ. Allah says some people, when you look at them, they fill your eyes. This is in Surah Al-Munafiqun. Allah says to the Prophet, sometimes some of those hypocrites, they were in a nice way, handsome, they had huge structures. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. When you look at their structures, their bodies, you say, wow, you get excited. Fascinating. وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَهُمْ تُعْجِبُكَ أَجْسَامُهُمْ. They impress you. وَإِنْ يَقُولُوا تَسْمَعْ لِقَوْلِهِمْ. Even when they speak nice. كَأَنَّهُمْ خُشُبٌ مُسَدَّدَةٌ. But inside is empty. Inside there is no guidance. Outside is full, but inside is empty. This is why be careful, huh? Don't look at men and women, and when you see something, you know, interesting from outside, you say, wow, look at this. This must be a messenger of God. This must be an angel. This lady is an angel descending from the sky. Wait until you discover the inside. Sometimes the inside is completely different. Don't judge people from outside. Don't. Don't judge people by what they wear, how they act. We have to look at the inside. Allah says to the Prophet, some people come to you, you get impressed by their madhar, by their size. But don't wait. Look at their conduct. Look, if they are honest, then they are good. So this is إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَمَلَئِهِ. We sent Musa إِلَى فِرْعَوْنَ to Pharaoh and his notable, his elite. فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Unfortunately, the community, they followed the command of Pharaoh. They did not follow the command of Moses. فَاتَّبَعُوا أَمْرَ فِرْعَوْنَ. وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. What a beautiful sentence. If you understand Arabic, this is a sweet sentence. You enjoy it. وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. And Fir'aun was not sound. His life, his character was not sound. وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. People followed him. People clapped for him. How many people elected this current president? Over 60 million people. They are still clapping for him. They are still saying, Ahsant, go! But what he does is not Rashid. His conduct is not sound. Is not good. Is not mature. Because he puts interests before values. And when you put your interest before values, whatever, in whatever capacity you are, as a father, as a mother, as a leader, as a mayor, as a president, as a teacher, you fail. Not only you fail, you're going to fail the whole people with you. وَمَا أَمْرُ فِرْعَوْنَ بِرَشِيدٍ. Then God says, يَقْدِمُ قَوْمَهُ. Look at this sentence, another powerful sentence. يَقْدِمُ قَوْمَهُ. يوم القيامة فأوردهم النار. Fir'aun shall go before his people. يقدم. He walks, and then his people are going to walk behind him on the day of judgment. يقدم قومه يوم القيامة. Where is he heading? Which direction? فأوردهم النار. He is going to lead them to fire. فأوردهم النار. The verb ورد is used when you reach the water place. When you travel in the desert there is no water. So when you reach the water place, then this is warada. فَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَ. They say the man, the caravan, women, they arrived into the water place. This is warada. And Quran is using this here in this term with purpose. Quran is trying to tell us that on the day of judgment, that day is the day of extreme thirst. Every person is going to experience extreme thirst. And there is no water. Here, there is water. You can stop by a gas station if you are traveling at home. You can take from the neighbor. Water is available. On that day, water is not available. People are thirsty. Not the thirst that we experience here in Ramadan or in the summertime. No, very difficult. Very weird type of thirst. And therefore, the believers, they're going to arrive into a pond, and that pond is called what? Hawdul Kawthar. The Prophet is standing there, and the Prophet is giving permission. And who is the Saqqa, the one who provides you with water? Imam Ali alayhi salam. He's going to extend the cup of water. That day is day of thirst, extreme thirst. Allah says, Pharaoh, rather than leading his community into the water place, the watering place, into giving them water, he's going to lead them into where? Into the opposite of water, which is what? Fire. فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ وَبِئْسَ الْوِرْدُ الْمَوْرُودِ. This is the worst type of entrance. Nothing is worse, more horrible than entering hellfire. وَبِئْسَ الْوِرْدُ الْمَوْرُودِ. Pharaoh was a despot. And despots, they don't use logic when they govern. They use what? Not logic. They use what? Huh? They use force. Despots, they don't use logic. If they use logic, they are not despots anymore. They are not tyrants anymore. But because they don't like logic, they become tyrants, and tyrants use what? Use force. They use intimidation. They use torture. They use kidnapping, as you saw with the case of Jamal Khashoggi. If his government was a democratic government, they say, we don't fear him. Let him speak. Let him criticize. Democratic governments, they don't fear criticism. They don't fear someone speaking against them because it's a democracy, freedom of speech. But in Saudi Arabia, there is no freedom of speech. There is no human rights. There is no freedom of religion. There is no freedom of thought. You have to clap always to the king. And Allah says, a leader, a president, a sultan whose tyrant is going to produce a corrupt nation, corrupt country. And this is why Allah says you have to do something about the tyrant. If your president becomes tyrant, you have to stand up. Don't clap for him. If you clap for him, he's going to lead you into hellfire. يَقْدِمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ. This is why jihad, a resisting dictatorship and tyranny, is number one item, number one goal on our agenda here in this life. We cannot accept tyrants. I can't say, he's the president, let him do what he wants to do. No, he's affecting my life. He's going to destroy me, destroy my community, my family, my personality, my character. He's going to corrupt me. And this is the Quran. This is what God says. God says, Pharaoh, because they kept listening to him. Muhammad ibn Salman yesterday at a conference attended by 3,000 people, mostly Saudis. Whatever he said, they clapped for him. Believe me, if you bring 3,000 goats and put them on these chairs, they would not clap every time. But those people are worse than goats. Believe me. And this is a theory in the Quran. Allah says, you know why people followed Pharaoh and they clapped for him and they supported him? فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُوهُ. The more he mistreated them, the more he belittled them, the more he disrespected them, the more they listened to him. This is exactly the example of Saudi Arabia today. The more the king disrespects his people and tells them, every money you have, every food, everything, it's from me. أنا ربكم الأعلى. They bow down before the king. If you go to Baqi', if you go to the prophets and bow down, they say, this is shirk, don't do this. But go to the king, King Sultan, and bow down. This is halal. This is iman. Can you see the, do you see the hypocrisy here? So those tyrants are going to produce goats, not human beings. Goats. Who have no freedom, who have no dignity. Allah says, don't do this. You are a human being, you are not an animal. You have to have your freedom. You have to speak your mind. I didn't send you here just to pray and fast. I want you to lead a dignified life with izzah. This is what we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein, he taught us how to lead a life of dignity. Not just to listen blindly to a tyrant and whatever he says, I clap for him. So he becomes more tyrant, more tyrant, more tyrant. This is not good. وَأُتْبِعُوا فِي هَذِهِ لَعْنَةِ. See, Allah says one person can lead 100 million people into damnation. One person. You don't need more than one person. The example of Pharaoh, he was one. He led 100 million into damnation, into hellfire. As I said, a tyrant would have produced a failing, ailing nation. Not a good nation, not a dignified nation. Do you know why more people want to live in the West now? They leave their countries? Not because of lack of space. We have a huge land in our countries. Huge land. But because of lack of dignity. There's no dignity. You don't feel you are a human being. You don't feel you are a human being. Therefore, people run away. They try to find some karama, some dignity, some freedom. وَأُتْبِعُوا فِي هَذِهِ لَعْنَةً وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِئْسَ الرِّفْدُ الْمَرْفُودِ. Allah says, they were pursued in this life, in this world by a curse. Pharaoh and his company. How they were pursued by a curse? Where? When they drowned. This is a curse. This is damnation. This is a punishment. Allah says the punishment does not stop here. There is another second punishment. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. What you saw is nothing. This drowning is nothing compared to the real punishment, real damnation, real curse that is awaiting for you on, or for them on the Day of Judgment. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِئْسَ الرِّفْدُ الْمَرْفُودِ. بِئْسَ الرِّفْدُ الْمَرْفُودِ. The worst type of punishment they're going to receive it. They shall receive it on the Day of Judgment. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات تابع اللهم بيننا وبينهم بالخيرات إنك مجيب الدعوات إنك غافر الخطيئات إنك ماحي السيئات وجاعلها حسنات إنك على كل شيء قدير إن شاء الله.